Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, the show that tackles topics important to you and your family, finances, food, education, technology, and everything in between. We've got it covered on Mom Talk. And now, here's Mary Donnellan on Mom Talk Radio.
Welcome to another fabulous edition of Mom Talk Radio. This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey, and it is always a pleasure to be behind the mic, and especially because we have a really fabulous show, an all-star lineup of guests that I'll get to in just 1 minute. First, I want to actually mention that we are sponsored by Premama, and if you listen to Mom Talk Radio and know Maria, and of course the Mom Talk Radio team, we love Premama and the idea of it. It is a pill-free alternative to prenatal vitamins. And now they also have a fertility and a lactation supplement. So you need to check it out at drinkpremama.com. And they are at CVS stores across the U.S. It's also available on Amazon.com, by the way. It's my favorite. And you can go to Drink Premama and find a store locator or go to CVS.com. So there's an unflavored Premama Essentials and a citrus-flavored Essentials plus DHA. And they have an exclusive formulation of ingredients, including folic acid, vitamin B for energy, morning sickness relief, gentle iron, and so much more. So you've got to check it out. It's doctor-approved, vegetarian, gluten-free, and made in the USA. That's important to me, and I know it is to most moms. So check it out. Again, Drink Premama on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Visit drinkpremama.com and online at Amazon, even Target. And when we jump into the show, I just want to say that, of course, we all know in October, we see an explosion of pink. I mean, I think the funniest thing we see, or I see anyway, is the NFL players, even my daughter's soccer team. She's in eighth grade, so she's on her varsity soccer team. And the opposing team last week had on pink socks. I thought it was so awesome. And this is all, of course, in support of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which we know runs through the whole month of October. So check it out. I would Google just free mammogram. I just did that before the show started because I think it's so important. We all know the importance of early detection and monthly self-exams. So if your insurance or Medicare or Medicaid do not cover breast cancer screenings and mammograms, please check it out online. Again, there's a lot of different resources. I'm not going to name any particular foundations because I know there's so many out there. But I did find a link to free or low-cost breast cancer screenings and mammograms at the YWCA organization, which is a nonprofit, and also the FDA, fda.gov. You can find screenings in your area. I think if there's a zip code locator. I didn't get that far into it, but I just wanted to check it because I know that that prohibits a lot of, and of course, cost is a factor and time as well, but it's so, so important, and early detection is the key, as we all know. So check that out. And now on to our show. I've teased it enough. We have an all-star lineup. We have an Emmy-winning filmmaker, Gail Kirshenbaum. Let me say that again real fast. And she's going to be talking about her new documentary, which actually turns the camera from her subjects to herself. So we also have a history lesson on the real Winnie the Pooh. We have the great-granddaughter of the gentleman who actually rescued the cub bear in the World War I era and brought him back to a zoo, and that became the Winnie the Pooh and A.A. Milne and Christopher Robin and the whole story. So we're going to get a lot of good history from Lindsay Maddock, who is going to be actually our first guest. And then we're turning the mic to a brilliant comedian and award-winning speaker, Steve Gilliland, about his new book. So once again, thank you so much for joining us on Mom Talk Radio. We will be switching over to our first guest after a quick break. We'll be talking to Lindsay Maddock, who is has written a new book, actually, and about her adventure, her grandfather's adventures for the real Winnie the Pooh. We'll be right back.
Mom's Little Secret, Mom Talk Radio.
This is Mom Talk Radio. Our first guest I'm pleased to introduce is Lindsay Maddock, and she was inspired to share her family's piece of history about Winnie the Pooh and the actual bear, and she's written a book called Finding Winnie, which actually goes on sale this week. Congratulations, Lindsay.
Thank you so much.
So that's a real accomplishment. You wrote a picture book, correct?
I did. I didn't illustrate it, but I wrote it.
Well, I guess I mean it's not a, you know, a volume biography, let's say, of your great grandfather, right?
No, exactly. It's a picture book for children.
Oh, wonderful. Okay, great. So we all know Winnie the Pooh the bear. So that you're the great granddaughter of the man who rescued the real Winnie the Pooh, correct?
I am. My great grandfather was a Canadian veterinarian and soldier named Harry Colburn.
And what was his story?
So his story is that he emigrated from Britain to Canada, and when the First World War broke out in 1914, he enlisted with a Winnipeg regiment, and on his route to the war, he stopped in a little town, and there was a hunter that had killed a bear, and he was selling the cub for $20. So my great-grandfather, who loved animals and was obviously going over to the war to look after the horses, the cavalry units, he decided to buy this little bear cub and take her on the train with him and then across on the ship across the Atlantic. And about 4 months later, when he realized they had to go to the front lines in France, he realized it wouldn't be safe to take the little bear, whom he had named Winnie after the city of Winnipeg in Canada. So he, at that point, brought her to the London Zoo in England and left her there for safekeeping. And intended to bring her home at the end of the war, but while she was there, she met a number of visitors, and one in particular was A.A. Milne, the author, and his son, Christopher Robin. And Christopher Robin took a real shine to this little bear cub named Winnie, and his father started writing the stories and took inspiration from the name Winnie for his central character.
Of course. And now the rest is obviously a very well-known literary history. So what a fascinating family history for you. So you wrote the book called Finding Winnie. And what was your inspiration for the book?
It's a story that I've obviously really loved in our family history for many years. And I always knew that at some point I would potentially have my own child and I would need to share the story with them. So when I found out I was pregnant, I was really motivated and I thought, if I don't write this book now, it might take me another decade to do it. So I was really motivated and I started with a dedication to, it turned out I had a son, but it started as a dedication. And we ended up naming my son Cole, which is short for Colburn. So the way Finding Winnie kind of unfolds is that it's me explaining to Cole this family story, and at the same time, I'm also explaining to him how he got his name.
Oh, that's great. So you really put your family history, which is really profound, into this book as for your son, and such a great story. It's smart that you did it while you were pregnant, by the way, because I'm sure you know now after the baby's born, zero time,
yes.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. So
I have a three-year-old, and he's three now, so I think it would be a bit impossible now.
Oh, wow. So it's been 3 years. So it's just getting released this week, correct?
It is. Yeah, exactly. It hit shelves October 20th.
Oh, great. And where can we find it?
It's at bookstores across the United States and Canada.
Right. And you're based in Canada, correct?
I am. I'm in Toronto.
Oh, okay. Ooh, I've heard it's lovely. I've never been. I've heard it's lovely. So, and what does your, now, obviously, is your son is three. So you've read it to him, obviously. Was he excited about the book? Does he understand where it's coming from and his name and his namesake?
I read it to him for the first time a couple of months ago. I was waiting until I felt like he would be able to understand it, and it's still
right.
A little beyond him, but a really cute story was I explained to him that I had written, I said, you know, Mummy wrote a book, and he at that point was learning the word character, and he said, am I a character in it?
Oh,
and I said,
cute.
You are a character. I said, actually, you are a character, and then he kind of looked at me and went, is Gil from Bubble Guppies?
Oh.
And I said, no,
the cartoon.
Gil's not in it. And then he just kind of like ran off, moved on to something else. But
yes.
So he's still a little young. I think right now he thinks he's related to a bear versus a soldier who actually bought a bear. But we'll get there.
Right. So I'm sure you have with your great grandfather's history, you have a lot of archive. Do you have a lot of archive material you were able to reference for the book or from your passed down from your family?
We do, and that was honestly a big part of my motivation in writing the book as well, is I have these incredible photographs of Harry with other soldiers, with Winnie. I have his 1914 diary where he actually makes notation about having bought Winnie August 24th, 1914, you know, December the 9th, 1914, took
That's
Winnie to
awesome.
London Zoo. Mm-hmm. And so part of why I wanted to write the book was I really felt like these items that are in our family need to be seen by people who are avid fans of Winnie the Pooh. So at the end of my book, there's a family album, and there are a lot of those kind of primary sources that are inside. So people will actually be able to flip through my family album.
Yeah, I love it. I love history anyway, but just to know. And honestly, I decorated my first son's nursery in Winnie the Pooh theme. And that number one. Number two, I never thought Winnie was a girl, but you're saying it was a girl cub.
I know. A lot of people don't know that.
Yeah.
You know, she obviously, A.A. Milne turned her into a little boy bear, but she was, the real Winnie was very much a female black bear. She lived for about 20 years at the zoo.
That's what the question was. Yeah, where she went after, what happened to her?
She lived 20 years apparently is quite a long life for a bear, and they said that there was an article written by a zookeeper who said she was the only bear that they ever trusted entirely with people, and there was lots of things written about how her nature was so friendly they would let children into her enclosure and actually, if you can possibly imagine, ride on her back. She would do tricks for them.
That's
things
amazing.
That, you know, in 2015 would be absolutely unheard of, but
right.
I think obviously inspired A.A. Milne as he was watching Christopher Robin, his son, literally playing with a wild animal. I think he must have been inspired by that.
Right. Absolutely. So Finding Winnie goes on sale this week, actually Tuesday, October 20th, and it's available wherever books are sold. And again, thank you so much, Lindsay Maddock, for joining us. What a fabulous piece of history, and you've put it into a children's book. And best of luck with the book. And when we return, we're shining the spotlight on moms. We'll be talking to the redhead baby mama, Lindsay Paris. We'll be right back. My favorite segment of Mom Talk Radio. This is Marion for Maria, and I'm speaking with Lindsay Paris, who is the redheadbabymama.com owner and tweets at redheadbabymama. And Lindsay has a newborn in her arms right now and a 4-year-old. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Lindsay.
Thank you. I'm so honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. So before we went on air, we were just talking. You just had the baby, and you're hoping she cooperates. So, you know, this is a show all about moms, and this proves it, right?
That's right. I'm always an advocate of promoting what our real life is. You know, we don't necessarily need to hide behind, you know, folded piles of laundry. You know, life's a mess, and it's more fun that way.
Amen. I subscribe to that theory. So you have been blogging at Redhead Baby Mama. It's a lifestyle blog, correct?
It is. Lifestyle, parenting, Southern living.
Okay. And then you're actually now segueing into some TV work. Tell us a little bit about that.
I am. It's been really interesting. You know, my college degree was in theater performance and costume design with my master's and that sort of stuff. So I always had a flair for production and always felt very comfortable in that sort of aspect. And after I started blogging for about 2.5 years, I was asked to come on CBS Atlanta and share a couple of segments. And I was all aflutter, you know, super excited. But I felt that this what a wonderful segue from medium to medium, so that's still in sort of like a presentational manner. And I've been doing segments for, like I said, our local CBS. I was a part of the moms panel for Atlanta Plugged In, and I've actually done some Walmart commercials, and it's been wonderful. I have another segment coming up on CBS for, you know, Halloween treats and that sort of stuff. So I get to share some seasonal tips, some fun things I like to do. And, you know, I find that the 5-minute segments are never long enough. I could talk for 30 minutes.
Isn't that the truth? Yeah. You could have your own show. That's sometimes our interview now is going to be too short because we're going to get into some topic and I'll think, oh, I wish we had a whole hour to talk to you.
Yeah.
So do you go into the studio? Is it more of the in home? How do you work out your TV segments, and how do you work it out with the baby?
Yeah, well, you know, having newborn does present a challenge, but what I normally would do, contact my producers, and we come up with a topic and things, touch points to talk about, and I'll create a blog post with visuals that goes live that morning. And when I arrive in studio, you know, I have usually set up in the kitchen, set, and we have our five-minute segment, and I remind everybody to visit the blog for more information or more projects that they can do at home with their kids. And as far as the baby goes, my four-year-old's now in pre-K, so that's really convenient because the show usually tapes at noon. But the baby, you know, last week was in the green room with my mom just behind the wall.
Great. Well, at least your mom's there. That's a fabulous.
Yeah, I know. I was very grateful for her visit.
Yeah.
Well timed.
Oh, she does. Does she live near you?
No, she doesn't. She lives in St. Louis, and I miss her every day.
Oh, I'll bet. My mom was around when my kids, when they were little, it was a godsend. It was such a great, like I said, a great backup. So wonderful. So you, Redhead Baby Mama. And again, how long did you say you've been blogging?
This coming February, it'll be 4 years already. So a little more than 3.5 now.
Okay. Well, so you started when you had your first child, obviously. And it's,
I did. Yes, I did.
Right. Awesome. So tell us what is coming up on your blog and your TV segments. You're talking about some fall and maybe some Halloween segments?
Absolutely. You know, having a background as a costume designer and now having young kids that are old enough to have an opinion about what they want to be for Halloween presents a challenge when my son just has decided he wants to be Dark Vader. I mean, you know, it's not Darth, it's Dark Vader to him. So we're, you know, creating family costumes surrounding that. But I, you know, I'm a Christmas nut. So people start lighting their jack-o'-lanterns and I'm already jonesing for my mistletoe and my Christmas lights. So you'll probably see more of that kind of content for the rest of 2015 coming from me.
Great. That's wonderful. Well, actually, I'm the one that's pushing back because I think there's too much Christmas stuff out already and we're not even at Halloween. I think we should wait till after Halloween to get the fall and the Thanksgiving out and then we come to Christmas. But, you know, it's all.
I understand that. My eyeballs start sparkling when I see Home Depot getting their Christmas trees out.
And they're already out down here. We're in South Florida. You're in Atlanta, right?
Yes, yes. And they're out. You know, Costco had theirs out yesterday. And I was like, oh, everybody, look, let's get them.
That's funny. That's funny. My son was Darth Vader for 1 year, and the next year he was Sith or one of those other Star Wars. I mean, Star Wars is huge for your age range your little one. So are you going to dress the baby?
I am. She's going to be a little baby Princess Leia. My husband's going to be a Jedi, and I think I'm going to be, Padme, Queen Amidala when she has her children.
Good. Well, put pictures up on your blog, okay? We want to see them.
Yes, more to share.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us. Good luck and best of luck with all of your online and TV appearances and posts. And again, it's redheadbabymama.com, and that's how where you tweet. And when we come back, Steve Gilliland will talk to us. He is a nationally known and award-winning speaker, and he's written a book called Detour, Developing the Mindset to Navigate Life's Turns. And don't we all need that? Stay with us.
Succeed at the most important career you'll ever have. Welcome to Mom Talk with Maria Bailey.
This is Mary Donlin in for Maria Bailey. As I mentioned at the top of the show, it's an award-winning show today, and I'm pleased to introduce Steve Gilliland. He is a member of the National Speaker Association's Speaker Hall of Fame. He's an in-demand and top-rated speaker, and he's also actually on SiriusXM Radio's Laugh USA and Blue Collar Radio, and he's got a very impressive resume. And now he's also an author, and his latest book is called Detour, Developing the Mindset to Navigate Life's Turns. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Steve.
Thank you, Mary.
When you talk about this book, how long has it been in the making and what is the inspiration? Is you've written other books. Is this part of the same genre and series?
When I first wrote Enjoy the Ride back in 2005 and it became a bestseller, everybody was like, you know, hey, what's next? And I really never had this book, if you will, in my mind, but over the years, I had written other books, and then people started to say to me, you know, we really enjoy the ride, but, you know, something, we're getting older, a lot of changes, you know, now our children are having children, and now we're grandparenting. There's a lot of changes going on. So, but then one person alluded to the fact of, you know, blind spots and potholes, and, you know, my rides get a little bumpy, so nevertheless, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and tackle the subject of change, and I did it in a book that we pretty much coined the sequel to Enjoy the Ride, which is Detour.
Oh, right. So, like you said, and I agree with you, I'm midpoint too. So you start to realize that it, you know, you're so full of optimism, and then you do hit speed bumps along the way. So you probably, as a, and I don't want to stereotype, but as a comedian, you probably just have this outlook that's more about finding the opportunities, let's say, amid a crisis or in, you know, getting over the speed bump.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with two areas. One, you know, and it's, you know, using humor. I tell people that, you know, you can't give people permission to ruin your day. And there's so many circumstances daily that people, you know, whether it's, you know, knowingly or unknowingly, we ruin your day, they will ruin your day. And then the other thing is to assign the right value to situations. I think so many times now, you know, we overinflate or we overreact to things. And I think, you know, you just have to put into perspective where you're at, and I think sometimes we don't. We live in a fast pace, you know, everybody wants it now world, and it causes a little bit of stress and chaos.
Absolutely, and again, it's generational differences too. I mean, I have children, and it's just watching them go so fast, and yet, you know, I want to embrace change, but then I'm sometimes afraid of it, and it's going so fast, and I want it to slow down a little bit. So, you know, kind of caught in the middle. And why do you think people are afraid of change?
Well, I think the biggest thing is we have an intrinsic value. You know, we have an ability to adapt to situations. And a lot of us, instead of, you know, suturing it up, you know, we kind of put a Band-Aid on it. And then all of a sudden we scrape it and the scab falls off. And, you know, I think some of us just feel like we just want to adapt versus change.
Right, right. So when you talk about your book, Detour, is it a how-to? Is it a help guide? Is it a self-help, more or less? Or tell us a little bit about the book.
Well, it really is a self-help book. I break it down into six mindsets, you know, and it starts out with, you know, developing the mindset of recognition, you know, recognizing, you know, your need to change and what those are. I talk about a kind of a histrionic perspective of some of the, you know, companies that didn't see change coming, and all of a sudden, while they were, you know, number one in the industry, you know, now they pretty much are an afterthought. You know, and then I go into the mindset of how we react to things, you know, the mindset of reaction, how we control stress. And I go down through six different mindsets along the way, making sure that I emphasize that, you know, all of the turns that we encounter in life, you know, they make us stronger. But it's developing that mindset to be able to be resilient and become stronger.
Absolutely. And actually, I love the word resilient, because that's we had a guest on a few weeks ago that I interviewed, and he talked about even building that up in your children, because that's a really key trait that gets you through a lot of as you said, the detours and the speed bumps, et cetera. So, and you don't know what's coming down the pike, you know?
My thing with my children is I tell them, you know, what you go through in life will either make you bitter or better, stronger or weaker. Be strong, you know, be better. Don't let the circumstance dictate, you know, the outcome.
Right. And in your bio, I see wise decisions can start with noticing silver linings. What do you mean by that?
I just feel like that when we face things, the tendency is, you know, to go back and use what I've already said, we tend to overreact. And I think sometimes I was the same way, where something would happen and I would get so emotional and so upset that I would not realize that in that challenge, in that, there was an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was the growth. You know, I'll say it this way for your listeners. You know, I became a better father when I was faced with adversity, you know, because it allowed me to grow. I became a better husband. All the facets of myself and my personal life and even professional life, I grew the most during the most difficult times.
Right. And it's, and you, like you said, you're talking about with your kids and your wife relationships, and that's critical. They're all along our path, is relationships. Nobody's what do they say? No man is an island, right?
Exactly.
Right. So where can our listeners find the book? It's called Detour, Developing the Mindset to Navigate Life's Turns. Steve Gilliland, where can our listeners find the book?
They can find it anywhere books are sold, retail. And they, of course, every day, you know, today, everybody goes to Amazon. It's on Amazon.com.
Right. Yeah.
Signed copies, they can go to my website. I always tell people, you know, if you want a signed copy, just go to the website, because all of our orders that we fulfill, we make sure that we send signed copies. And that's just my name, SteveGilliland.com.
Right. Awesome. And it's G-I-L-L-I-L-A-N-D. And that will be on momtalkradio.com this week when we archive the show. And thank you so much for joining us, Steve. I'm sorry we didn't get to the title of one of your books called Hide Your Goat. That sounds really interesting and off the path a little bit, too. And when we come back, we are joined by Gail Kirshenbaum, who is an Emmy-winning filmmaker, TV producer, blogger, personality, and she's a documentary filmmaker, and she's got a new one called Look at Us Now, Mother. We'll be right back.
The number one podcast for busy moms, Mom Talk Radio.
For this segment of Mom Talk Radio, we're talking to another very talented filmmaker, Gail Kirshenbaum, and she's got quite an impressive resume, and I will let her tell you about it because her newest documentary is called Look at Us Now, Mother, and it's about the transformation of a highly charged mother-daughter relationship, and it compares, this is awesome, Mommy Dearest to Dear, this change from Mommy Dearest to Dear Mom. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Gail.
Hi, thank you very much for having me on.
Thank you. So tell us, this is fabulous. I don't want to give the bio away because I want you to tell the story. Where did this Look at Us Now, Mother come from?
The reason I made the film, which is a very personal film, it's my story, is because a few years ago I decided to make a funny movie called My Nose about my mother's relentless campaign to get me to have a nose job.
Right.
And it is because of that 13-minute little short that I really made for her because I wanted her to realize that not everybody agreed with her.
Right.
But the little movie had a big life. It played all over the world, won awards, lots of press. And what it did was it showed me that I wasn't alone. I mean, I knew I wasn't because people would stand in line to talk to me after the Q&A and in the end tell me their story. So I heard so many people's stories. It didn't have to be a nose. It could be something else. But essentially stories of trauma from childhood, being raised with a critical parent. And mm-hmm. these people were well into middle age, onto senior years, and they were still dealing with the scars that it left.
Right.
And so I started coaching people, and then one thing led to another. I developed what I call the seven healing tools. I started doing seminars, and I heard more and more stories, and that's when I said, that's it. I have to make this film. I have to, you know, take my mother on this journey of forgiveness because she was willing. She's funny. She's smart. And alive and kicking. And I have a huge archive because my father started shooting 8mm footage when I was born. And I'm a storyteller and I'm pretty open. So I had everything I needed and
all
I was
the tools.
Committed. Yeah, and I wanted to help people. That's my mission here.
Oh, that's great. And you have a willing mother. That's even more because most of the time they, you know, especially the older generation, they do not want to talk about it. It's over, right?
Well, here's the story. My mom loves, I mean, whether she agrees that she did anything wrong or acknowledges it is another story, but she
right.
does love attention at all costs. Here's the thing. We ended up on the Washington Post style section when the Nose film premiered down there. And the first line into it was, if you have a mother like Gail Kirshenbaum, you better get yourself into psychoanalysis. Mom reads this, right? And she goes, great. Bad press is better than no press. I'm on the cover of the Washington Post.
Just don't spell my name wrong, right?
Yeah, so I think that kind of explains her personality.
Oh,
attention at all costs.
That is fabulous. So is the film, look at us, so it was a smaller portion of My Nose, Look at Us Now, Mother, or is it a completely separate project?
It's a totally different film.
Okay.
My Nose was the reason I made it.
Okay, your inspiration.
Quite literally my nose, my real nose and my film, my nose, because
right.
I would have this film is a feature length documentary. It's in festivals now.
Okay.
And we just actually finished today at 10 o'clock a Kickstarter campaign, which was pretty nerve wracking.
Oh, right.
To raise the funds. We've raised most of them. We succeeded, but we will need some more, but we're going to release it ourselves theatrically next year.
Can we see it now? No, you're saying it's in distribution now.
Well, you could see
now.
It now. It's on the festival circuit. So, and believe me, people have, I cannot believe how many people have seen it in more than one festival, and they've gone from one country to another. Like
to
someone saw it in Toronto, then they saw it in Israel, someone saw it in Sarasota, then they saw it in, Woodstock. Yeah,
right.
So I'm actually leaving tomorrow for Orlando, Florida, and it's going to premiere down there October 22nd. And just in the next month, all of this is on our website, lookatusnowmother.com.
Okay.
But You know, Columbus, Ohio, Nashville is next week, Charlotte, North Carolina, I'll be there, Fort Lauderdale.
We're in Fort Lauderdale. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. So it's going to be at the Great Four. I've been in that festival two other times. So I think we're there, and I'm going to be there. Mom's going to be there.
Oh, wonderful.
I think it's the 12th and the 13th of November.
Would you say that, you know, your experiences growing up and then your early, like where you are now, is what's your relationship like with your mother? Is it, as you said, it came through the forgiveness and the healing of the relationship?
Yes. So here's the story, and this is what I tell everybody, because I'm a baby boomer and we're telling our stories and writing our books. I forgave my mother. It had nothing to do with her, meaning whether she would ever say she did anything wrong, whether she would acknowledge anything, regardless. You forgive for yourself.
Right.
And
you have to own it.
You have to own it. It's for your own health. Because if you don't forgive and you hang on to that anger, resentment, it hurts you. It hurts you emotionally. It hurts you physically. It hurts everything. So I teach people how you reframe looking at that person who was abusive and critical of you. It could be throughout adult life. And you, instead of looking, so frequently with daughters, it's frequently a mother, sometimes it's a father, but in many cases, that mother-daughter relationship is a very highly charged relationship. You know, one word, it could go one way or the other.
Yes, yes.
So I tell people, take your mother off of the pedestal of mother who should love and adore you, and reframe how you look at them. So if they're really mean to you and not kind to you, they're wounded. And look at them as a wounded child. And so in my film, I go on a journey to figure out, why was my mother like this from the minute I was born? She loved and adored my brothers, but she looked at me and saw the devil. And, you know, I grew up with a terrible Cinderella complex. I was sure I was adopted because I couldn't understand why I was treated like this. And I went on a journey to dig into her past, because her generation, they don't talk about things. You know,
no, they don't.
You know, you don't talk about the, you know, untimely deaths and the suicide attempts and the poverty and the cancer and the whatever.
Any struggle,
Any struggle. My grandmother says you don't hang your dirty laundry. She always said, when you laugh, everyone laughs with you. When you cry alone.
Yeah, that's true. That's the old cliche that's from them. Yeah.
Right. So my mom was raised with that mentality, and she's of that generation.
Yes.
And so it took a lot of digging, and she wasn't coming forth with a lot of it. She came forth with some stuff. We go visit therapists, two therapists during the, which is intercut in the film. So there's aha moments. But it also led me to find relatives. I'm sorry, they're doing construction. You and everyone's hearing, I apologize.
We got to wrap anyway, so we're good. Tell our listeners where they can find information about your movie tour with your mom.
Look at us now, mother.com. And you can just follow on the screenings. But I would recommend sign up for the newsletter, because then you'll get all sorts of other information and you'll be closely in touch with us.
Again, it's called Look at Us Now, Mother, and Gail Kirshenbaum. Thanks for joining us. And coming up next, more Mom Talk Radio. On this segment of Mom Talk Radio, to end the show today, we are welcoming Dr. Gail Saltz, who is a wife and mother of three daughters herself, and is also a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital. But she's going to be giving us tips and strategies today as part of Tylenol's How We Family program. Welcome to Mom Talk Radio, Dr. Saltz.
Thank you. Nice to be with you.
Thank you. So you've been in practice for over 20 years, and you've worked with families and probably seen all kinds of shapes and sizes and could write a book on it, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Tell us about the program, the How We Family program.
Yeah, so the survey, Tylenol gathered 1,700 families and looked at a great diverse range of kinds of families. And really talked to them, or essentially questioned them, about how they viewed themselves and how that differed from how families viewed themselves in the 1950s and 60s. And it was really remarkable that families today, which are much more diverse than ever, see themselves nonetheless as a very traditional family. And that they like their families, they feel proud of their families, and as a matter of fact, and you know, this isn't surprising given the fact that these families are very diverse and feel this way. Things that were most important to families today, which is different from the 50s and 60s, is that teaching acceptance and diversity is very, very high up on the list of, mm-hmm. of values that matter to families to be teaching them about, to be talking to their kids about. And, of course, communication had risen to be one of the, you know, almost important things to be talking with your kids about.
Right. So this was a study of families. Was it across the U.S.? Was it specific and into
yes.
a region?
So it was across the U.S. These were families of different sex parents, same sex parents, single sex single parents, step families, really sort of every constellation, which you know today is of course much more prevalent than it used to be.
Absolutely.
And you know we're sort of wondering. You know, are families struggling a lot with those different kinds of identities? Do they feel not included in the label of traditional? Do they feel, you know, that there is discomfort in being a diverse family? And it was, you know, it was surprising how many families really don't feel that way, quite honestly,
right,
that
right.
They do feel very comfortable.
And you had said at the start of the segment that, you know, what is defined as traditional, and in my opinion, I think that definition just by what you're saying is definitely changing. There's a whole sea change.
Clearly, it has changed. I would
yeah.
say, you know, as a mental health professional, for the better, because your family
right.
identity is something that really matters in terms of happiness, in terms of having
right.
relationships, and being included in community. So, to feel accepted and to feel that you are a traditional family and you like your family, that helps every family member.
Right. So, and it's just such a sense of permanence for kids to have that, as you said, that family
yeah,
identity.
So. I mean, the survey also looked at that. It looked at keeping traditions, which was very, very important to today's families,
mm-hmm.
Passing on old ones, creating new ones for the family, and that sense of family identity, which is really what you're talking about,
right.
for children. Is hugely important. Like, I belong here, and I like our family,
mm-hmm.
and this is who we are, and these are the traditions we do, and this is how we play together. Those kinds of things really matter to kids as they grow up.
So the website is howwefamily.com, and this, again, it's a Tylenol study, you said, interviews, correct?
Exactly, survey,
okay.
large survey.
So we only have about a minute left.
Yeah.
What will we find at howwefamily.com?
Well, a whole host of videos and more information, more of a breakdown about specifics that families, you know, everything from, you know, how they felt about honesty, you know, what kinds of things families like to do together,
right.
the importance of saying I love you, lots of different specifics about families, but also testimonials from families about, you know, how they are dealing with challenges that come. How they feel about their families, certain celebrities who step forward to support the idea that diverse families, you know, need to feel accepted and need to feel supported. So all of that is there.
Great. Wonderful. Thank you so much. And again, it's hashtag Howie Family, and we'll post that on Montauk Radio next week and on the Facebook page as well. And again, it's howiefamily.com. And thank you so much, Dr. Saltz, for joining us. And that is the last segment for this fantastic show. I want to thank all our guests for joining us and all everyone out there who is listening. Be sure to check out momtalkradio.com for this show and past shows that are archived, as well, again, as the Facebook page. You'll find the links to all of our guest sites that we mentioned, as well as other updates from Maria and the Mom Talk Radio crew. And have a great week, everyone. Happy fall.